Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels storm.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You're listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's word and desiring his coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and he is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life.
Good morning. I would like for you to listen to a message I brought, a recent message. Thank you for listening this morning. I want to encourage you to please join us at Crown of Life Baptist Church, currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel in Noblesville, 10 o'clock.
We've been primarily in the book of Numbers, chapter 13 and chapter 14. And very extensive to understand, and very important to understand the provocation, what took place in these two chapters. It's like almost as important, if not more important, than knowing where to find the flood in the Bible. The flood was in Genesis chapter 7, 8, and 9. And here you have the provocation or the day of temptation in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. Last week we went through it very extensively. This is an event that takes place that is so provocative, so egregious, and yet so fundamental to our faith that the Lord uses it as a stern teaching point several times throughout the scriptures, including the New Testament. And Paul brings it up at least twice in the New Testament. What is provocation? It's a derivation of the word provoke. Provocative, provoke. It means an action or speech that makes someone annoyed or angry, especially deliberately. An act of provoking an action that intends to cause a reaction, especially anger and annoyance. Brother Ellery 2 weeks ago brought a message about Nahum and talking about Nineveh. And he talked about that God is slow to anger, but there comes a point when he does get angry and he pours out his wrath. Last week we talked about in section one in your notes there, redemption has two parts, out and in. Deuteronomy 6:23 says, "And he brought us out from thence." What did God bring Israel out of? Egypt. Egypt is a picture symbolically throughout Scripture to mean the world. Jesus saved you out of the world. We have been saved out of the world. We don't face the same condemnation as the world. We have been saved. And out of the world, we have come out of the world. And then the second part of that Deuteronomy 6:23, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. Who are their fathers? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob a land. If you just turn your Bibles for a second over to Genesis chapter 13, you can see that where the Lord first told Abraham that he was going to give them a lamb. In Genesis 13, and the Lord in verse 14, Genesis 13, 14, and the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And so, a land. So, what taking place here? Moses is God's man. He's Israel's deliverer. God uses Moses to deliver Israel out of Egypt and to bring them into the promised land. And so there's two parts to redemption, out and in. And we see that evident here in Deuteronomy 6:23. We also see it in Genesis chapter 12 and Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 repeats what we learn about Genesis chapter 12. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, he came out of Ur of the Chaldees into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, in the land. So you have the word out and into, as in a strange country dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So this is where we get the term promised land. Okay, we have a promised land. That's the millennial kingdom to come, when Christ will rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. That will be the promised land. Israel's promised land in Old Testament is a type, and that was the land of Canaan. Many Canaanite tribes dwelled in that land, and God gave them space of 400 years to repent of their wicked sins. And their sins were a stench in the nostrils of God. And he did to them like he did to Sodom and Gomorrah and extracted them out of the land. Sodom and Gomorrah were consumed by the fire and brimstone. But historians, archaeologists who have gone back and found Canaanite cities have unearthed unspeakable things that can't be spoken in this room because they were very perverse, very wicked. And God gave a stern warning to Israel. Don't intermingle with these people. This is the hammer of God came down on all of them. Women, children, and men, because of the wickedness, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And you say, children? Well, when you understand how wicked it got, I mean, you know, in the 50s, there were five venereal diseases, five different types of venereal diseases in America. Today, there's over 25 different venereal diseases in America because of the wicked sins that are out there in the perversion in our culture today. And so it was just heinous, ungodly, what was going on in the Canaanite world. And God gave them a space to repent, and they didn't repent. While Israel was in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, they had space to repent. The one of the bullet points under section 1 says, in the full scope of our Christian life, God first saves us out of the world, which is Egypt, that we will not receive the world's eternal damnation. But then we enter a walk through a wilderness of spiritual darkness. That's why we're to be light in the world, because the world is dark. We're to be a lighthouse. We're to guide people to light, because God is light. Jesus is light. And the Word of God is light. So we walk through a wilderness of spiritual darkness, per se, to then ultimately be led into the future promised land, which is the millennial kingdom of God. However, this promised land for the Christian believer is subject to our obedience in our walk, just as entrance into Canaan land was subject to the obedience of the Israelites' walk in the wilderness. This parallel is the scope of this message, and it's going to be several parts. We're primarily going to stay in the Old Testament last week and this week, and then when we resume, we'll start getting into the New Testament. This parallel is the scope of this message and scope of the New Testament admonishments by Christ and the apostles to the Christian believers for the last 2,000 years. If all we had to do was believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, you wouldn't need 27 books in the New Testament to tell you that. But there's a walk, a behavior pattern that's different for the believer versus those who are lost. Correct? Does that make sense? Yes. And Paul was writing to multiple churches, and yes, there are many topics that are repetitive in the different books, but each one is linked together with the other. What the Lord is trying to tell us, our behavior needs to be becoming of Christ. And if so, it will be rewarded. Now, last week we learned about Kadesh Barnea. Israel, when they left Egypt, if you could throw that up for me, Doug, thank you very much. This is the film, image we showed last week. And if you remember from your history in the book of of Exodus, but also Genesis, that when Israel came into Egypt and settled in this area, they settled in Goshen. Okay, Goshen. And that was right over here in this area of Egypt, where I'm using the laser light. And all this land was connected to the Sinai Peninsula. The Red Sea, this is the Red Sea down here at the bottom, and it had sort of two finger elements that came up around the Sinai Peninsula. So this is the Red Sea, this is the Red Sea here. It stopped right here, the Red Sea. In 1869, the Suez Canal was built between the Mediterranean Sea and the Red Sea. But the Egyptians left Goshen, walked over dry land into Sinai Peninsula. There is no body of water here. And they came through the Sinai Peninsula and crossed over the Red Sea right in this area here. This is where God divided the Red Sea, and the Israelites walked on dry ground. And this is Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia today. This is Saudi Arabia. Very wilderness area, very dry, no shrubs, no trees, just a very dry area. Now, let me show you another picture here. This is in most of your Bibles. In the back of your Bibles, you have this diagram that says Mount Sinai is over here in the Saudi Arabia, or in the Sinai Peninsula, and that they came down. They're saying they crossed over the Red Sea over some little body, some lake. Some will say they crossed over here in the Red Sea, but that they never came into this part, crossed over the Red Sea here, and came into Mount Sinai. That map is wrong. That map is absolutely wrong. There is no Mount Sinai over here. This is where Mount Sinai is in Midian, where Moses went to find his wife Zipporah and married his wife Zipporah and lived with his father-in-law for 40 years. But this is the Red Sea. This is a part of the Red Sea where they crossed over. And here is Kadesh Barnea in the southern part of Israel. And this was the staging ground for Israel to go into the promised land in Kadesh Barnea. God told it, Moses, send out 12 spies to go into Israel and to search the land and see what kind of people are in the land and see the abundance of the land, the milk and honey and the vineyards and the orchards and all the fruits and vegetables and all the... They found fig trees, they brought figs, they brought grapes back with them. And they basically spied out the land of Israel, which is here, Canaan. The Dead Sea is right here. And further north went up to about the boundary of Lebanon. And they spied out the land for 40 days. And we learned last week that they came back to Kadesh Barnea, the staging area. This was where they were to launch and go into Canaan land. And 10 of the spies gave a negative report, a pessimistic report, said, God, they said the people in the land, they forgot about God, what God had done for them. And they said the people in the land are too big. They're giants, and we're like grasshoppers. And we can't defeat those people. We can't take the land. And the people cried and murmured against God. They wanted to stone God, Moses and Aaron. And God became very angry. And he wanted to disinherit the people completely. In Numbers chapter 14 in your Bible, verse 12, and I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them and will make of thee a greater nation mightier than they. So God was saying, Moses, I'm going to make a nation through you. Forget about these children who are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'll make a mighty people through your name and destroy these people completely. From 13 to 18, we have the Lord is long-suffering. Well, Moses intervenes. He intercedes in prayer for Israel. And so we see the Lord in verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. What does pardon mean? I forgive, right? I forgive. But verse 21 starts with the word but, B-U-T. As truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles. And I mean, they saw miracles after miracles. There were 10 plagues in Egypt. God destroyed the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. He parted the Red Sea so the Israelites could cross into safety and go to Mount Sinai. And you could put that other diagram up there for me, Doug. I appreciate it. And so they settled in this area, and the Egyptian army, Pharaoh, were destroyed in the Red Sea. And miracles, 10 miracles they saw, and yet they didn't believe that they could conquer the land. Let's go back for a minute and look at Exodus 23. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 19 first, and then we'll go to 23. Here is Israel before Mount Sinai, and if you remember, Mount Sinai is where Moses got the Ten Commandments, plus many other commandments on building the ark, the laws of Israel. The law was given to Moses on the top of Mount Sinai, and so they were there for a long time. And so in verse 9, in chapter 19 of the book of Exodus, look at verse 3. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. How did he lead Israel through the wilderness? By a fire, a pillar of fire by night, and a pillar of cloud by day. So they knew the Lord was leading them. They had a pillar, and even a pillar kept the Egyptian army from overrunning the tribe of Israel. And so it says, I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called all the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered, all the people, listen, all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So the people said, hey, we're going to do what God tells us to do. Okay? Now turn to chapter 23. Now here the Lord is speaking in verse 20, chapter 23, verse 20. Behold, I send an angel. Who's that angel? That's a capital A in your Bible, right? That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ. I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. The Lord is preparing the ground. You know, the Lord goes before us and prepares our way. Beware of him and obey his voice. Beware of him who? Beware of the angel. Beware of the Lord and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Verse 22, but if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thy enemies and an adversary unto thy adversaries. For my angel shall go before thee and bring thee in unto the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. All the way back here at Mount Sinai, before they advanced to Kadesh Barnea, he said, I'm going to be with you into the promised land. Why did God have to send out spies then? Why did God send out spies? Why? Because God commanded Moses to send out spies. One leader from every tribe was to go into the promised land and to test them, to prove what they said here in Exodus. If they're going to do what he said they're going to do, they're going to trust him. Test their faith. Test their faith. I mean, God brought all 12 of them through the whole land of Israel safely. They didn't get captured. And yet they cried out to God, cried out unto Moses. And Moses was God's deliverer. Moses is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see that when we get to the New Testament. But he's a deliverer. He's a redeemer. He helped the Israelites get out of Israel. God used him to deliver them.
You've been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Currently meeting at the Cambria Hotel, 13500 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. Please join us again next week, in person and right here on Freedom 95.